Okay, yeah. Any questions related to that?
Janet.
Yeah, Janet.
Well, I have an amendment that for the 2016 LSB elections, that candidate statements shall be sent as an opt-in feature, and that any member wishing to be sent the candidate statements can receive them by mail. I'm sorry. That any member wishing to be sent the candidate statements by mail may email or call.
Ann Goodman on the stack.
Okay, first of all, let me get that. Is there a second? Could you submit that in writing, Janet? And
yes.
Is there a second to that amendment?
And Lydia to the stack.
Okay. Did I get a second to that amendment? Okay. And Janet's going to get that in.
Mr. Chair, I would like to motivate my motion if...
Jan Goodman, point of, I think, order, actually.
What's your point of order?
My point of order is I would like to table these motions until after Lynn Serpy is off of the
point.
Line.
So
that people
That's not a point of order, but...
Okay, whatever. I would like to make a table this just until after she's off the line so we can ask her questions or if there's anything that we need to talk to her about.
You're going to have to get back on the stack. I can't take a motion. You asked for a point of order, and that wasn't a
All right. Well,
I'm going to hear Brian briefly motivate his motion, or we're going to go to the stack on the amendment that Janet before. Brian?
Yeah. Well, first of all, our national election supervisor asked for clear guidance from this, and I think she deserves a yes or no vote from us. I think Janet's amendment is perfectly fine. I'll vote for it, unless the election supervisor thinks there's anything wrong with the language. And as we all know, from the discussions that we've been having, even during our agenda setting process, we are faced with multiple imminent, urgent things we need to pay for, from our audit to this election mailing, to upgrading software systems that are on the brink of collapse that are the spine of our network-wide accounting system. And we don't have the money to pay for all of them and have to make very hard decisions about prioritizing them. The one thing we do have control over is minimizing those costs, so not spending more than we have to on printing a bigger election packet than the bylaws require and mailing it out. And that makes those other difficult choices incrementally easier. So I'm voting yes on this, and I would urge the rest of you to do it as well.
Okay, I think I heard Lydia, and then we're speaking to the Janet's amendment. Yes, Lydia.
Yes. Now, there are also some motions that were passed in the past, so we don't want to pass something that contradicts something. In this case, I totally would support not sending out the pamphlets unless you request a candidate statement. So I support that. But in terms, I think that Brian's motion is a little bit general. I was very impressed with the statistics that Lynn brought to our attention in terms of how many people voted online. A lot of us voted online because, people didn't get their ballots in time, and that was the most expedient way to do it. However, there are an awful lot of you can flip it and say, if you were to delete the number of people who received paper ballots, we would not have made quorum in some of our stations for sure. And some of our stations are known to prefer paper ballots. And so, although I think that's ultimately the direction we're going to end up with is electronic balloting, which I was very comfortable with. I thought the balloting company did an extraordinary job in terms of transparency after the election with the images of the individual ballots. I had a great deal of confidence in it. So that's not my personal thing. My main thing is access for people that are not comfortable with computers yet, and we do have a senior demographic for sure. So I would not want Brian's motion to be interpreted to give the election supervisor, not that she would and she hasn't proposed it, to do electronic voting only. So just some clarity on the intent of that motion, but I definitely support absolutely in terms of the candidate statements, which at some of the stations where there are a lot of candidates, it could really be costly to mail that out. So I wholeheartedly support having the opt-in for the candidate statement, but clarity on the actual balloting.
Okay, we're taking a stack on Janet.
Mr. Chair, we are at time on the election supervisor item.
Yeah.
Yes, Serene?
Yes, Serene?
So I wanted to have a point of information for the NES.
Well, we gotta extend some. We're out of time, so if anyone would need a motion to extend time on this item.
I'll move to extend 3 minutes.
Okay, it's been moved to extend 3 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any objection to extending 3 minutes? Okay, we're...
This is Janet. Who seconded, please?
Dan Goodman.
Okay, without objection, we extended 3 minutes. I think we had a question by Serene.
And Jan Goodman on the staff, please.
Okay, Serene, you had a question.
Okay, I'm sorry, Janet, point of order.
What's your point of order?
Don't we have a motion on the, we're dealing with a motion. Is the question related to the motion?
We were dealing with your amendment, and I assume that Serene had a point of information.
How could there be a point of order before I've spoken? Anyway, my question to Lynn is, what is the latest date by which you would need to have a decision from us?
Well, I think I sort of mentioned that I know there's another call next week. The big issue really is the ballot companies right now. I've mentioned to them that we may or may not have candidate statements. Certainly, if they don't have to do the work of all the research, that makes it more likely that they can meet the accelerated deadline that I gave them, because I switched it from July 15th to July 13th, hoping to make the PNB call. I don't have to have an answer tonight.
But what is the latest date that you could have?
I'm really hoping that we get all these proposals in next week on the 13th and that we have a discussion on the 14th. And then, I start entering into contract negotiations on the 15th. That would be, so the 14th would be the latest date under that timeline. I'm hoping I don't have to modify it. I know that a lot of my timelines are often very aggressive, but so is the entire election from my perspective due to the lateness that I was hired.
Okay. We're speaking to Janet's amendment.
May I motivate Janet?
Yes. You want to motivate it? Yes.
Well, right. So the amendment is another way to minimize costs. And that's why it's connected to the main motion. And I wanted to add in, as I usually do, that I'm against electronic voting. And I'll stop there.
Okay, the next one, I think I had Jan Goodman on the stack.
I want to clarify that the amendment to the motion does not eliminate the parameter that whatever is done must be within the bylaws. Didn't eliminate that, did it?
Janet, you want to speak to that, Janet Colburn? If it did, it's out of order. I don't think it, but Janet Colburn, yes.
As far as I know, I don't believe it violates the bylaws.
I know what I'm saying.
Point
is,
of information.
You didn't do a replacement amendment. So you just amended the motion, and the motion included that whatever method had to be within the bylaws. So whatever you said was like in addition to whatever he said. Is that correct, or did you think you were replacing it?
No, it's amending it. It's adding to it.
Okay, so we still have that it has to be within the...
Oh, my God.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because if it Has that been all in favor?
And we're at time on our extension, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And I need to be going very, very shortly. I'm already almost 10 minutes over what I agreed to.
Okay, we're out of time, so we're going to have to go to a vote on these items that are pending. What we have is Janet Copern's amendment. Everyone understand Janet's amendment? She sent it out in writing to Brian's motion. Is there any objection to Janet Copern's amendment?
I object. This is Grace. I object.
Okay, Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
If we're taking the vote, it's okay for the NES to get off the call, right?
I'd like to get off the call. Is that okay?
Get off the call. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, everyone. I appreciate all of your help. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Okay, Madam Secretary, could you call a roll on Janet Copern's amendment to Brian's motion?
Yes, Aaron.
No.
No. Alexander.
No.
No. Bethune.
Yes.
Yes, Brown.
I don't even understand.
Can't hear you. Castanets.
Yes.
Yes. Crozier.
I'm going to vote no, although
no.
I like the intent.
Edward Seeker.
Yes.
Yes. Fuentes.
Yes.
Yes. Gammon. Gammon? Can't hear you.
Yes.
Yes. Goodman.
Can you hear me?
Repeat your vote. Jan, please. Jan Goodman. How did you vote?
Hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Pass. I need to read the motion.
You're passing. Okay. Coburn votes yes. Novick?
Yes.
Yes. Nwangaza?
Yes.
Yes. Patel Adams?
Yes.
Yes. Pinchback?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts?
Yes.
Yes. Sorden?
Yes.
Yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Jim Brown didn't hear you.
Yes.
Yes. Jan Goodman, you passed.
I think I'm going to vote yes.
Yes. One moment. I have 15 yes, 3 no, 0 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair votes yes.
Yes. 16 yes, 3 no, 0 abstentions. This passes.
Okay, the amendment passes. Now we go to Brian's motion as amended. Everyone understands it. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll on the original motion as amended?
Yes. Aaron.
Yes.
Yes. Alexander.
Yes.
Yes. Bethune.
Yes.
Yes. Chair, I don't know if you can, if this is appropriate for you to ask if there are no objections.
Is there any objection to the motion as amended? Okay, approved without objection. Okay, we move on to the next item on the agenda. I think that's with your amendment, Janet Kay, with the banking information.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
may
want.
I?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the special order of business. It's a motion on PRA bank account signatories. And I move that whereas Brian DeShazer resigned as director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, PRA, and whereas Mark Torres has been appointed as interim director of PRA, the Pacifica National Board moves the following to be effective July 7th, 2016. Brian DeShazer is to be removed as an authorized signatory and operator from any and all financial institutions, including but not limited to banking, investment, stock, securities, and vendor accounts for Pacifica Foundation accounts, and that Mark Torres, interim director for the Pacifica Radio Archives, PRA, is authorized to be a signatory on all PRA banking and vendor accounts.
This is Grace. I have a substitute motion.
Wait a minute. I want to second Janet's motion.
Let's get the motion on the table. We'll second, and then we'll hear from Grace. We got a Janet's motion on the table. We got a second. Who is it? Was it Margie?
Yes.
Okay. And then I assume we're going to give some time. We're going to give Janet some time to motivate this.
Well, yes, basically, we need to be responsible in terms of our banking, and since there was a change in staff, this process needs to be taken care of immediately.
Okay, I think, was that Grace? You want to
speak to Grace.
Grace, Aaron.
I have a substitute motion. And that is that the IED reverse her decision to decrease Brian DeShazer's salary by 25% and appeal to him to continue in his position as the chair, as the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives.
Second.
Who is that, the second then?
Dan Goodman.
This is Lydia.
Yes, I want to...
Yes.
Do you want to speak to this? Or you?
I just want to object to a discussion of staff and salary issues in open session, and it also does not seem to be relevant to that motion at this juncture. I mean, something else can be done with that motion, but... should not, this is a separate issue and should be discussed in closed session.
Yeah. I think that's a valid issue that our executive director raised, that this is a personnel matter in terms of the discussion and debate that may ensue on this motion. It might be better, should be better in closed session.
Dan Goodman, move to have this whole topic move to the closed session later on this evening.
Okay, is there any objection to moving this to closed session, this particular issue? Or
Janet, point of information.
Question.
Yes, Janet, what's your question?
So the whole issue, that includes my motion, the bank's account signatory's motion?
Or the
amendment?
Yes. Dan Goodman, yes.
Oh, I'm going to make a ruling. I'm going to rule it out of order.
Also issue.
I'm going to rule it out of order because it's a, you know, it's a personnel issue and should be done in closed session. At least the substitute motion I'm moving out of order. Now, then we'll go back to the discussion. I think, Janet, you had was that a motion you had to move the entire discussion into closed session?
Jan Goodman.
No.
Yes.
No. Oh, Jan Goodman.
Jan Goodman moved have even the discussion of the check writing. It's a personnel matter. Move it to closed session.
Was there a second on that?
This bill.
Okay, we have any discussion on that issue? Whether to move the entire thing with the check writing in closed session, is there any discussion on that?
I object.
Okay, there's been an objection.
This is Bill for the stack.
Okay, Bill.
Well, you know, if he's gone, then we need to change the bank signatory, so I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but I think Grace's substitute makes a lot more sense, so I think we should be discussing that wherever we can, either open or executive session. So if we need to do an executive session, we need to move the whole thing there because it's clearly a substitute. You know, you wouldn't need the first motion if we were going to be passing the substitute.
This is Serene.
Well, okay, yes, Serene.
Mr. Chair, we are at time.
Okay, we're at time on this item, unless anyone wants to extend
Move to extend 2 minutes.
Been moved to extend 2 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, without objection, we extend it 2 minutes. Yes, Serene.
Okay, so I would think that we need to deal with the bank situation now. Today is July the 7th, and Brian's resignation was effective June 30th. So we need someone who can sign on the accounts. If a decision is later taken in closed session that makes such a thing unnecessary, then it will just not be necessary. But I don't think we should end today's meeting without dealing with that. So I would support your decision or your recommendation that they be treated. Well, first of all, I don't think that this is actually a substitute motion. But at any rate, you know, the issue of how we deal with Brian, what is possible, et cetera, is one thing and should not be discussed in an open stream. I'm shocked to hear it even broached. But the bank issue, it's already out there, and we need to vote on it. We need to do that.
Yeah, just for clarification, the only issue we're discussing is to do the bank signatures now. We would.
I misunderstood. I thought I heard Bill urging that the whole thing be moved into executive session. Okay,
well,
thank you.
We already made a ruling on that. That issue failed. That motion failed.
Gotcha. Thank you.
But we're just discussing now whether or not to put the signature in open session.
This is Bill for point of information or request for information.
What's your question?
Well, doesn't the motion say that, you know, Brian DeShazer would be removed, and clearly that wouldn't be necessary or even appropriate if the substitute was approved? So it seems like they clearly are tied together.
Well, the issue is not whether or not they're tied together. The issue is whether or not what can be discussed in open and closed session. The mere change of signature is what we're saying is not a closed session, necessarily a closed session issue. That's the only thing we're deciding now, to do the signature change in the open session. Okay, anybody?
But if we decided, let me just question again. This is point of information still. If we passed Janet's motion, and then in closed session we passed Grace's motion, we'd need to cancel out, we'd have to rescind the Janet's motion, wouldn't we?
Easy enough.
That's right.
I mean, we'd have to do it. We could easily do that in closed session if that's the will of the body, but I don't see that as being a handicap. But the only
thing, it seems like we should do the whole thing in closed session.
Don't support me, Mr. Chair.
This is argumentation, not a request for information, and our time is up.
Okay, yes, that's correct. Our time is up. We're going to go to the vote on whether to vote in open session on the bank signature issue. Do you want to understand what we're voting on? Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
I'm sorry, is this a motion, or is this a challenge, vote on challenge to the ruling of the chair?
I understand that Jan or Grace made a motion to put this bank signature in closed session, and we're voting on that or not. It was seconded.
Okay.
They can go into a vote on.
Got it.
Oh, all right. So it's just to vote on that one to go to closed session. And who seconded that?
I did, Jan Goodman.
Well, I have you as making that motion, so who?
I did.
Bill.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Oh, my God.
I took it to Grace's motion. Maybe we both did. I'm not sure.
We're voting on
Bill seconded it.
Okay. Right. Okay, that's how I'm going to record it. All right. This is a vote to move the bank signatory motion to closed session. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron.
Yes.
Yes. Alexander.
Yes.
Yes. Bethune.
Pass.
Pass. Brown. Jim? Can't hear you. Casnave?
No.
No. Crozier.
Yes.
Yes. Edwards Tekert.
No.
Aye.
N-O.
No. Fuentes. Fuentes?
Pass.
Can't hear you. Pass.
Pass.
Gammon.
No.
No. Goodman.
Yes.
Yes. Coburn, no. Novick.
No.
No. Nwangaza.
No.
No. Patel Adams.
No.
No. Pinchback.
No.
No. Roberts.
Sorry, this is on moving the bank stuff into closed session?
Yes.
No.
No. Sorden.
No.
No. Wilkinson.
No.
No. Bethune, you passed?
No.
No. Fuentes, you passed?
Yeah, abstain.
Abstain. Brown, Jim, didn't hear
no.
you?
No.
No. Okay, let me count. I have 4 yes, 13 no, 1 abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair votes no.
No. That's 4 no, yes, 14 no, 1 abstention. This fails.
Okay, now we'll go to a vote on the bank authorization of the signatures. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Aaron.
Is there an objection?
Is there any objection? Okay. No objections. We'll move on to the next item we have on the agenda. Report out of the coordinating committee. I believe it's the non-noticed June 2016 P&B meeting. Got 10 minutes on this item. Who's going to speak to this?
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
Okay. So, my understanding is that there was a notice sent out about a meeting on Sunday the 26th that Michael did the usual call out that there was no quorum. I was not on that call. I had indicated I could not be there. Michael did the usual call out. There was not quorum. The day was called. And then at some point, without notice to the full PND, without any distribution of call-in codes and streamed, I believe by Bill Crozier, but someone can correct me afterwards, there was a call alleging to be a call with directors or whatever. I have not listened to the recording, but that was not a call or a meeting that was either a PNB meeting, nor was any work group or task force created by the PNB to conduct such a call. So I think there are a lot of obvious questions about the propriety of the actions, and I think we should have some discussion on it and the uses to which the Pacifica stream is put and in which and so-called meetings in which Pacifica staff participate.
Anyone else want to speak to this issue?
Adriana?
Who is that, Adriana, and who else?
Lydia,
yes, Adriana. Yeah.
Let Lydia speak, and I will speak after.
Yes, Lydia.
Yes, and Bill. An added concern is the CPB notice of meetings, and especially as, from what I understand, this was not a PMB constructed committee or anything of that sort, or even a task force that the PMB voted on to exist once the quorum was not met for the other meeting, I had received a call. I don't even remember who called me, actually, at the time, about the fact that it was going to be streamed or whatever. And I spoke to Otis. He didn't. He said he didn't know about, you know, even the initial meeting, and that Bill would be doing the streaming. So that's what I know. I have not listened to what was posted. If it was not a legally posted meeting, then it should also not be in the archives, although I did plan to listen to it.
Adriana, and then Bill.
And then yes. Janet.
Adriana.
Okay, basically, it's totally illegal, and we know it, to have to conduct a meeting where not all the directors receive a phone number and a call to call. Like was said before, nobody can create, can use their special privileges to organize whatever they wish and talk to the listener and confuse everybody. And then they are making something that is legal when it's not. It's not working group that is not established by the PNB or authorized by the PNB. I don't know who that group is, and it's worse than that. How could that be that directors, I received phone calls from people telling me it's something on the stream. I was traveling, and really, I mean, I didn't know what to do, where to call, to whom to call, was no phone number, were not codes, and obviously, now all the directors receive a phone number and an option to be in that call. I think that we cannot use the resources of the foundation for personal gains or for trying to make their own legal propaganda and confuse people, and it's worse than that. We are against the requirement of the CPB about open meetings. That is still posted in the Pacifica official website, like a PNB meeting, of a special PNB meeting, and we all know that that wasn't a meeting because we didn't have a quorum, and that meeting finished. It means it's a lie. Thank you.
Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, I'm trying not to laugh. I mean, this is so absurd. Clearly, meeting was noticed appropriately. Anybody on the PNB who wanted to call in could. They all had the code for the original number. We were basically warned by Lydia and Tony that if we didn't have quorum, we couldn't use Pacifica resources. So we went to a different phone service that didn't cost Pacifica a penny. And to have this discussion, it was exactly the same thing that was noticed on the public notice. But, you know, this is clear this isn't really what it's about. I understand you're trying to find some excuse to silence those of us who are insisting on talking about our financial crisis. That's what this is about. And so I'd like to demand that if you're going to be talking about this in executive session, I don't know what you have planned, but if it's, you know, the rumors that you're going to try to, you know, kick us out or, you know, get us out of the way in executive session. If you're planning to do that, I want to demand that you do it in open session. I waive any privacy rights that I may have on this, and I insist that any discussion of what any action you might be taking on us be done in public session, because it's clear you're trying to silence those of us who are, you know, trying to speak out and demand that we get address our financial crisis and get some solutions. That's what that meeting on the June 26th was all about, and which, you know, the majority of the PNB decided not to attend.
Well, who is that? I can't hear who that is. Who is that?
This is Serene.
Yes.
Margie wants to be on the list as well.
And Grace, I'd like to be on the set.
Delusions of grandeur and slamming everybody else after they call a secret call without, and you know, this nonsense about everybody could have called in. Nobody has called in to a PNB meeting since the disruptions earlier this year, and everybody knows that. So you set up some call on a bogus number. You don't share it with the rest of the board. That's my point of order. He's ranting,
okay.
You know, in this, he's made himself the hero in his fiction. and the rest of us are supposed to sit here and take the abuse.
Okay, Adriana, who, is that timekeeper keeping time on the individuals?
Yes. Okay. This is great.
Janet, I was next.
Well, once again, we want to caution people not to question individuals' motives, PNB members' motives.
Marty wants to be on the stack.
I think the next person we had was Janet, and then I think we have Margie and Serene.
And Grace. I asked to be on the stack.
Janet?
Yes. So, first of all, the meeting that was noticed was a special PNB meeting. There were meeting minutes that were sent, I think the next day, where it was called a PNB working group. There were three individuals on the call who were not directors, on that, in those minutes. There, as far as I, know, there was no PNB working group. So this, the meeting that was supposed to be a PNB meeting became somehow a working group meeting. And not only that, a working group meeting that was not approved by the PNB. And I wasn't sent a call-in code for this second meeting, that was on a different service. And I know I'm not the only director who didn't receive a call-in code, so I couldn't have even called in if I wanted to. I had sent in a request for an excused absence, and I sent it shortly before the actual PNB meeting started, and so I was called, but my answering machine was reached, and so that took up 30 seconds. But, you know, I was not on the either call.
Okay. Next person is Margie.
Okay. I regret that we're spending time discussing this. I really don't think it's particularly germane, except that to say that, once it was clear that there was no quorum, it's my understanding that the people involved got off the call and called in a number that didn't cost Pacific any money. But why is there a recording of the call? That's what I don't understand. In my estimation, there should not have been a recording of the call, and I don't understand why there was or why it's on the Pacifica webpage. But in any case, that's my only concern about this, and I really hope we don't spend too much time on this. And I want to assure Bill that if anyone is considering taking action, that will of course have to take place in open session. It can't take place in closed session. So that's not a concern.
We're at time on this item, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we're at time unless anyone wants to extend it, but.
This is Grace. I'd like to extend it for 2 minutes so that I can speak.
This is Doreen. Yes. Is there a second extending 2 minutes?
Second.
Okay. Brian objects.
It's been an objection, so we're going to have to vote on
it. May I ask a question?
Yes, Serene.
Yeah. I would like to table it because I actually do think we need to resolve this so it doesn't happen again with these little pretend calls ending up on our official stream in our official time.
But, Serene, we're going to have to extend it if you want to do a motion to table. So, the motion in front of us now is to extend for 2 minutes. And it's been
why can't it simply be tabled? I thought a motion to table was always in order.
Well, make
not when we're out of time. We got to get time to entertain a motion to table.
Brian here on order.
Yeah.
You can make a motion to table until the last vote is cast, but you can't table a discussion. You can only table a motion.
Yeah, but we were out of time.
There's no motion on the floor to table.
Right.
Yeah. So there was no motion on the floor, and plus we're out of time. So if you want to, once again, the only thing that's in front of us now is to extend for 2 minutes, and there's been an objection. So we're going to go to vote. We're going to extend for 2 minutes. Okay. So, Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Aaron.
Yes.
Yes. Alexander.
Yes.
Yes. Bethune. Can't hear you. Brown.
No.
No. Esnave.
No.
No. Crozier.
Yes.
Yes.
We said we allowed this for everybody else.
Tinker.
No.
No. Fuentes.
No.
No. Gammon.
No.
No. Goodman.
No.
No. Coburn. No. Novick.
No.
No. Wangaza.
No.
No. Patel Adams.
No.
No. Pinchback.
No.
No. Roberts.
No.
No. Storden.
No.
No. Wilkinson.
No.
No. Bethune. Didn't hear you.
I might be voting differently.
I'm sorry.
SP talk.
I'm sorry, Bethune. You voted. How are you voting? Yes. Okay. Let me count. I have 4 yes, 14 no, 0 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair votes no.
No, that's 4 yes, 15 no, 0 abstentions. This fails.
Okay, we'll move now on to the next item on the agenda, the Musk-Kerry motion.
That's 4 yeses. The only 4 yeses would include me.
Secretary, did you get the?
May I? Should I just say who I have as yeses?
Yes.
Yes.
Aaron, Alexander, Bethune, and Crozier.
Thank you.
Okay.
Moving on.
Next item.
Chair, point of personal privilege, Jose Luis Fuentes.
Yes, Jose Luis, what's your first?
I just have to get off the call for the remainder of the evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item we have is the Musk-Kerry motion. I guess, Lydia, are you going to speak to that? Or?
I think it's on.
Well, yeah. Who made the motion? I mean, was it?
Who's making the motion? Let's get that on the table, and then we'll let you.
I'm sending it right now.
Serene is making it.
Oh, okay. So, as you know, we're covering 3 conventions, but this is specific to the 2 conventions because they're coming up right now, and they are, and so, you know, we have a budget for it. We hope it will be exciting. If you have not visited the PRA website with the promotional content for the conventions, you should do so. It's exciting things that we have in the archives from past historic conventions, actually, and speeches and so forth. But anyway, and so we really need to do something that calls attention to what we're doing. And we are now developing the outreach on social media for the convention, and we are lining up guests and so forth at the convention, and it should be a must-carry. The fact of the matter is that the entire network has been in the doldrums in terms of doing something that was sufficiently exciting or that the word got out about it. And that when we have something of this nature that only comes around every 4 years, and this year was particularly noteworthy, obviously, that and that's both in the conventions as well as outside of the conventions, that that we should really have must-carry. We have hosts from the different stations. We have Mitch at KPFA. We have Margaret from KPFK. You know, we have another oh, I can't remember his name from WPFW. Anyway, it's across the network. But the only way that this becomes of value, especially in terms of the fundraising aspect of it for the network, which we've never tried, and it's really important to try every aspect of opportunity to do so, is if it's a must-carry. And although I have not always been in favor of must-carry issues, I do like local programming, I like local news, etc. But in this instance, it is significant enough, I think, for us to have must-carry. If only one or two stations are carrying it, which tends to be the case. We've had some really exciting national programming take place, and it hasn't been carried by all the stations. And so, you know, it tends to be, we put in a lot of national effort into it from all the stations and individually, but then it isn't carried for one reason or another. I realize that there is a fund drive at WBAI. I think all the stations will benefit if we add this fundraising component to it. So I do support that this be a must carry. And everybody, by the way, is waiting for the results of this. All the GMs and PDs are waiting for the results of this vote.
Okay, Janet, Marty,
well, let's get a second to that. No, Serene made the motion.
Janet,
are you seconding the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but may I also speak to it?
Yes.
Or it should be read, actually, for the public.
Thank you.
Okay, could you want to read it for the public?
Yes. Whereas Pacifica will be broadcasting from the Republican and Democratic Party conventions with contributions by network staff that represent a significant expenditure of human and cash resources, and whereas the program hosts will offer listeners the opportunity to help offset the costs of said coverage to make the project more productive financially and more cost-effective, be it resolved that all five Pacifica stations will carry the coverage of said conventions live and in its entity. Should there be live coverage of the Green Party convention, the same rule shall apply.
Brian, I'd like to move a 10-minute extension. Otherwise, we're at time.
Is there an objection to extending for 10 minutes?
Second.
Is there any objection? Okay, it's been seconded. Is there any objection? No objection. We're going to be extended for 10 minutes. Anybody else want to speak to this motion?
Brian, the guest.
I have Brian, and who else?
Margie has a point of order, a point of inquiry, you know, one of those things, whatever that is.
And Bill, I have a point of inquiry information, too. Request for information.
Thank you. That's what it is. So I've been active around Pacifica on my LSB and on the PNB for 6 years now, and I've never before heard the term must carry. I get what it is. It's like the PNB directing stations to carry this. What I'm curious about is this something? I have two questions. One is this something that has happened in Pacifica in the past, and are we doing it in this instance because we've had experience where stations have not carried special programming, extra important now or something like that. Anyway, those are maybe that's discussion, but I really do want to know the answer to those questions.
Okay, can everybody mute their phones? Lydia, you want to address that quickly if you can?
Yes, we historically used to have a must-carry programming in the past. This is when we were solvent. We've had several instances just since I've been IED where we've had special programming. It wasn't national, but it was pretty national. Some of the stations don't want to carry, but that wasn't quite as compelling as something that really does affect, you know, the entire country at various levels. It was a very unique year.
9018627.
Good Lord. Okay.
Could everybody mute their phones?
Yes, and so that's how we distinguished it. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it. for those of us that have been on the boards forever and have had to deal with this from time to time. And so in recent years, there was more of a resistance for must carry, myself included, on that side of the aisle for certain things. But I think that this is significant enough for, that it needs to be a must carry. Also, because this must carry has that fundraising component to it, and the others did not.
Okay, thank you.
Bill, you had a question, and we'll go to...
And Janet, I'd like to be on the stack.
We have Bill, and we'll go to Brian and then Janet for the stack.
Adams also has a question.
Okay, Bill had a question, and then Ms. Adams, you had a question.
Yeah, I supported this motion, and I think it's superb in terms of mission relevance and everything else, but I want to make sure that the stations are also going to be required to air promos of it so people know it's going to be happening in advance so they don't just turn on the TV and not even discover that we have this wonderful convention coverage. Will the stations be required to, you know, promote it in advance, I hope, so we can get some money?
Lydia, briefly?
I would be open to amending that motion to that effect. That would be helpful to me. I would certainly request that of the stations. But as I said before, I also have someone developing a lot of social media. We're running about 2 weeks behind where we should be in terms of trumpeting this, although Archives put out their promotion last week, but we also have, and they got immediate, like, 15 hits in a matter of a couple of minutes, but we need to promote it widely, including promotions, you know, that with clips from all of the things that we have said before. So,
Ms. Adams, you had a question.
Okay, thanks. I'll write up an amendment.
Thank you.
Ms. Adams, you had a question? Nisha.